From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he concludes his exposition of Paul's Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Glory to God for the Gospel. The text is verses 25 through 27 of chapter 16, Paul's great doxology of praise to God for all that he has provided in Christ. Paul's realization of what Christ had done for him in saving his soul imbued the apostle's preaching with passion and affected every area of his life. Dr. Cairns highlights the glorious effects of the gospel in Paul's life, as well as in the life of every true believer. In the first place, Christians are strengthened by contemplation of their union with Christ. Dr. Cairns will be with us in a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. Our text for this morning is found in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This prayer begins where all true prayer must commence, with the spirit of adoption, Our Father. There is no acceptable prayer until we can say, I will arise and go unto my Father. This childlike spirit soon perceives the grandeur of the Father in heaven and ascends to devout adoration, Hallowed be thy name. The child lisping, Abba, Father, grows into the cherub crying, Holy, holy, holy. There is but a step from rapturous worship to the glowing missionary spirit, which is a sure outgrowth of filial love and reverent adoration. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Next follows the heartfelt expression of dependence upon God. Give us this day our daily bread. Being further illuminated by the Spirit, he discovers that he is not only dependent, but sinful. Hence he entreats for mercy, Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And being pardoned, having the righteousness of Christ imputed, and knowing his acceptance with God, he humbly supplicates for holy perseverance, Lead us not into temptation. The man who is really forgiven is anxious not to offend again. The possession of justification leads to an anxious desire for sanctification. Forgive us our debts, that is justification. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is sanctification in its negative and positive forms. As a result of all this, there follows a triumphant ascription of praise. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We rejoice that our King reigns in providence and shall reign in grace from the river even to the ends of the earth, and of his dominion there shall be no end. Thus, from a sense of adoption up to fellowship with our reigning Lord, this short model of prayer conducts the soul. Lord, teach us thus to pray.
Be thou exalted forever and ever, God of eternity, the ancient of days, wondrous in wisdom, majestic in glory, perfect in holiness and worthy of praise. Be
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've mentioned Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions, such as, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website, and we're pleased to make a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of this DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns, free of charge. If you wish, you may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
This text, from one point of view, Paul is writing with real calculation. It's very evident if you take this passage and compare it with the opening section of Romans chapter 1, there's a series of parallel lines. For example, in chapter 1, verse 1, he speaks of the gospel of God. Here he speaks of my gospel. In chapter 1, verse 2, he said that gospel was promised afore in the Holy Scriptures. Here he says it was made manifest by the Scriptures. In chapter 1, verse 3, he says the gospel was concerning his Son. Here in our text, he says the gospel is the proclamation or the preaching of Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, verse 5, he said it was made known for the obedience of faith among all nations, or obedience to the faith. And here he says it was made known for the obedience of faith, or for obedience to the faith. And again, it's among all nations. You can see there is a deliberate closing of the circle. And the things that he has dealt with at the beginning, he now deals with again at the end. So he's writing with calculation, and yet he's also writing with burning passion. That's very evident, that Paul is being swept along by some powerful emotion. The words are pouring out of him like some mighty Niagara. If you read it in English, it's sort of smoothed a little bit, and even there, I don't think anybody could have paid any attention to the Bible reading tonight without recognizing this is a difficult Bible reading. And the reason is very simple. These words are so pouring out of Paul that his syntax is broken. His sentences are jerky. It's not grammatically a very beautiful passage. It's as if Paul is throwing aside the niceties of grammar because they can't contain the fervor of his feelings. So as he reviews the gospel and thinks in everything that God has accomplished through the gospel of Christ, the apostle is so overwhelmed that in effect, if I could sum up these three verses, all that he's really saying is glory to God for the gospel. And that's how I want us to finish the book of Romans. Glory to God for the gospel. There are many things in Romans that are very, very interesting. There are things of the deepest theological importance, and we have tried to cover some of them, and I have asked your attention for some of the most profound passages in the Word of God. But at the end of the day, what I want you to take away from this is this spirit of the apostle. And I trust that not only tonight, but in the days to come, every time your mind goes back to Romans, this will be your response. Glory to God for the gospel. You see, if we know the gospel, let me put that a different way. If we have learned anything from these studies of Paul's great exposition of the gospel in Romans, if you've got anything out of our studies in Romans, you have to echo that cry. The greatest reason in the world to praise God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I look up into the sky, I see the sun by day, the moon and the stars by night. I praise God for his infinite power and wisdom. You think of the mind of God in creating and upholding all those things. That's tremendous. That's powerful. And we praise God for that. But when I think of the cross, when I think of the blood shedding of Jesus Christ, when I think of his life, his death, his resurrection, when I think that God sent his Son into the world to become a man, to be so identified with men, so united to us that we could be united to him, so that thereby he would take us out of Adam and the state of condemnation and bring us into Christ and the state of acceptance and grace. I can tell you that is the greatest reason in the world that I can have to praise God. If you read this doxology carefully, you'll see how much this weighed on the mind of the apostle. He was really glorying in the gospel. God, he says, is able to establish you or strengthen you according to my gospel. What is my gospel? He says it's the preaching or the proclamation of Jesus Christ. I would to God, you know, that every preacher nowadays would understand that. The proclamation of the gospel is not hell. I believe that hell is real, and I will warn men of hell. But preaching hell is not preaching the gospel. Preaching against sodomy is not preaching the gospel. Preaching the Ten Commandments is not preaching the gospel. Preaching come to Jesus and you forgive your sins is not preaching the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ, as we see, as we proceed through this. This is the apostle saying, God is able to establish you through my gospel. My gospel is the proclamation of Jesus Christ. And this preaching, he says, is according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret or hidden since the world began. You've got to understand the meaning of mystery in the New Testament. The mystery is something that is unknown and unknowable to the mind of man. It is not discoverable by human philosophy or human religion, but it is revealed by divine grace. That's the mystery. And he says, this gospel was a mystery hidden in God from eternity, but now revealed. And this revelation is because God commands it to be made known through the scriptures of the Old Testament prophets, made known to all nations, to bring them to the obedience of faith. Therefore, to God be praise for his infinite wisdom through Jesus Christ for the gospel. Now that's Paul's message. I want us to think of it and just very quickly summarize it. I'm not going to preach these things so much as outline them, because if I preach them, I doubt we'll reach 100 sermons instead of 80. So I'm just going to outline them. Here are the things for which Paul is saying glory to God for the gospel. First, the strengthening effect of the gospel. God, by the gospel, is able to establish you. The word means to set you up, to fix you firmly, to strengthen you. Though the winds of adversity blow, though the opposition of apostates would come against you, though the hatred of the world would aim the big guns of the devil against you, though your own flesh would betray you, yet he is able to set you and fix you firmly and strengthen you according to or in accord with my gospel, the truths that I have been expounding here in the book of Romans. Now, this is a vital statement, and I thank God that he's made it. Do you realize there's only one way for a Christian to be made strong? Well, let me back up. Do you realize a Christian should be strong? He has dealt with weak Christians earlier on, but he was dealing with Christians whose conscience was weak simply because they were very scrupulous to maintain a clean testimony. They did not want to do anything that would hurt their testimony. It's not the kind of weakness we're talking about now. He's saying Christians should be strong in the faith. They should know what they believe and why. Christians should be strong in Christian holiness and Christian virtue. They should be strong in the ability to lay hold of God and take what they believe and apply it to the everyday challenges of life. Now, none of us is strong by nature. We can all be blown away by the heavy winds of adversity. But he says we should be strong, and there's only one way to be strong. You don't get strong by joining a help group. Now, you may get comfort, but you're not going to be strengthened by joining a help group. You're not going to get over sin by sitting licking your sores with a bunch of other people who are troubled by the same sin. You may learn from them, if they have got victory, the signs of temptation and the pitfalls that the devil will put in your way. But you're not going to get strong there. Remember a young man coming years ago to say that he was deeply troubled because he had been involved in a sodomite lifestyle. And as now a Christian, he wanted, obviously, to turn his back on all that. And for a while, that seemed to be happening. Maybe it's still happening, I don't know. But he felt he had to go somewhere where he could sit down with a group of people who had the same experience, who came from the same background, who knew the same weakness and the same temptation. And I remember sitting saying to him, you know, you've got this all wrong. You're not dealing with a sickness here. You're not dealing with a weakness here. You're not dealing with the things that help groups can normally help with. You're dealing with sin. And that's not how you deal with sin. Where do you get strength? You get it from the Lord. How does the Lord communicate strength to you? He communicates strength through the gospel. According to my gospel. In other words, the strength to become holy, the strength to overcome sin, the strength to get victory over these things that attack, does not come from psychological gimmicks. It does not come from mystical experience. It comes according to the gospel. Listen, Paul is saying, you people are facing great enemies. He's saying, you are naturally, personally weak. You need to be strengthened. Now, I have written this book, the most theological book in the New Testament. He says, I have written this book to you in order that you would get into it and study it and learn it. Because this gospel is what God will use to make you strong. If we can grasp the truth of our union with Christ, if we can grasp the truth of what it is to be justified, do you realize that 9 preachers out of 10, at least the ones I hear speaking on radio, haven't a clue what that means? I hear them try to define it, and the more they define it, the more they get into the mire of confusion. Preachers don't know what it means. What on earth is happening then in their congregation? If we can grasp the meaning that God has made Christ to be sin for us, though he personally knew no sin, in order that we should be made the righteousness of God in him. If we can understand what Hugh Martin, the great Scottish theologian and preacher, called the doctrine of counter imputation, that God made over the guilt of our sin to Christ so that he bore all that we deserved, with the result that then he makes over to us all the merit of the righteousness of Christ so that we obtain what he deserves. If you can grasp that, then you'll know what it is to be perfectly accepted of God, secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing more calculated to make you strong. To use the words of another great Scottish preacher, Dr. Brown, he said that then in us the principles of the new life will be vigorous, rendering us intelligent, wise, holy, active, useful, and happy. That's what it means to be established according to the gospel. Now let me tell you, where is the Christian who does not want the new life in him to be vigorous? Where is the Christian who doesn't want to be spiritually wise, intelligent, holy, active, useful, and happy? That's what every Christian wants. If you don't want that, I think you need to be saved. But if you're saved, that's what you want. Your frustration comes when you feel to achieve this standard of Christian living. Now, Paul is saying, this is what it is to be established. And how can you be established? Well, God has the power to do it. How does he exercise that power? It's in accordance with the truth that I have here been expounding. Now, here we are, a weak bunch of people, in a world that's out to get us. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God we're not left to the mercies of the theories of men. He's able to establish us by this gospel.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.